This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM, 98.9 Digital HD3 Seattle.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. I guess I should say the Seafair edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Speaking of Seafair, that means... believe it, it is the first Sunday of August already. Now, I don't know about where you are, but here in the Great Northwest, when I came out of my house today, my trees were raining because it was so foggy. It wasn't actually raining, but they had so much moisture in them, they were dripping and raining. It sounded like it was raining, but it's foggy. And, it is Seafair Sunday, so go figure on that. And we have a full studio. Well, sort of, like a big round table. We've got Animal World's production engineer, Gary Hill, is here. Good morning, Gary.
Hello.
And you managed to get my microphone right the first time.
I know. It's a miracle. Okay. It is a miracle.
And my microphone is back, actually.
Yeah, look at that.
So somebody miraculously materialized it again.
It's all coming together.
Yeah. And then, of course, in the other room, behind the glass, in his own private studio, is Animal World's call screener, Scotty Robertson, is here. Good morning, Scotty. Oh. See, did I tell you, Dr. Bill? He messes up the detail. He didn't have him turned on. Hey, Scott. Oh, my goodness.
What? Yeah. Good morning.
Okay, Gary never messes up. That was my punishment for... is everything okay over there? Now, see, that he just throws his hands up and says, I don't know. Well, who else is responsible if it isn't you?
Oh, my.
Scotty, are you there?
I'm here, Martha.
But we can barely hear you. How come his volume is so low?
Man, well, when I turn it up to the normal level, you heard what happened.
Oh, I see. Again. That was the normal level, and that's what burned out our eardrums.
Yes.
So all this new fancy equipment just doesn't seem to work that well consistently. Would that kind of be true?
I don't know.
You want the old stuff back?
No, I like this board.
Oh, you like it?
Oh, yeah.
Even though it messes up? Well, all right. We'll just assume that everything is going to work perfectly from now on. But, Scotty, you're going to have to speak up if you're talking.
Good morning, Martha.
Yeah, but doesn't it sounds like he's in a tunnel.
Yeah, it doesn't
sound... It's just weird. I got this weird microphone in here.
Is it strange?
This big old cushion on here.
Oh. Maybe that's the difference.
I don't know.
Maybe they put that microphone in there, so maybe they're switching microphones. Maybe it's the microphone.
They stole the other microphone.
Well, but maybe that's the one I have now, see? Maybe that's how it ended up in here. Who knows? I guess that's not our problem.
At least
we're on the air, huh?
Right.
Of course, we don't really know that. We don't have that yellow light that tells us whether we're on or not. So we have to rely on our listeners to call us if there's dead air, right?
I am certain they'd let us know.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think there's anybody listening?
I'm guessing yes.
Well, we always know that Mary's listening. Gary's wife listens. Is Mary listening?
Probably.
She'll text you and let you know, right?
Right.
Okay, Mary, it's your job. Let us know if we have dead air. All right, now, speaking of the first Sunday of August, that means it's Vet Sunday. And so actually in the studio across the table from me, first time since the studio remodel, is Dr. Bill Burlingame from Quilceta Veterinary Clinic in Marysville. Good morning, Dr. Bill.
Good morning, Mark.
Let's see. Oh, there's that radio voice. And it sounds like your microphone is working. At least
I don't know. I just know I'm going to behave myself today because I don't want to get in trouble like Gary is.
Well, you see, Gary's already in trouble, so you're good. You can skate.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
And
also, I'll back you up, Gary.
All right.
All right.
I need it.
And the phone is ringing, so that must mean somebody's listening. Or somebody can hear the show anyway.
Or they're calling because they can't hear the show.
Or they're calling because they can't hear the show. Well, then how would they know to call? Because they can't hear the show.
Right.
I gotcha. Okay. Never mind. So, are you guys all okay with it? It's the first Sunday of August already? Does it just seem like strange to you?
Time moves on. It's just got to take advantage of it.
And we are having Seafair Sunday today, right, Gare? Seafair races and all of that.
I suppose.
Blue Angels.
I guess.
But you're the sports guy. You're supposed to know these things.
Does that fit into that realm? I don't know.
Well, hydros are sport. It's a sporting event, isn't it, Dr.
We need
Bill?
We need some sound effects here.
What?
Some boats.
Hydro sound effects?
Hydros or yikes. Jets or something.
Yeah, don't you have like...
How was that?
All right.
Oh, man. Gary, you never cease to amaze me. Your talent.
I think we'll give him a few minutes. He'll come up with something.
I don't think he's even trying. What is it that you're doing? You're typing away there.
I'm getting into our email in case somebody wants to email us.
Oh, I see. I see. Well, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
See, yeah. At least it has something to do with the animal
related.
World.
Yeah.
You don't even have the TV show on yet. Well, you should have the TV
I never
on.
Do anymore.
Well, I know, but now that I face the TV. And today, well, what time do the hydroplane races start anyway? Sometime during the show, don't they? Don't they start around 10 or something?
Probably, maybe.
You know, and I used to be for quite a few of the years we've been on the air here. I came across I-90 from Seattle. I don't do that anymore. I come down 405 from Monroe, and you come down 405, don't you, Dr. Bell? Yeah, because you
yes.
come from up north.
Yes.
Scotty does too. You come from down south, Gary. So
yes.
you come up 405. So none of us came across the lake, so we don't actually know if there are any hydros and boats on the lake.
But I do have to get across the lake after the show, so.
Well, you better leave really
yes.
fast.
Yes, yeah, that's
because,
exactly right.
Because right. wasn't I-90, what did the sign say when we drove? Did it say 1245?
Yeah.
And
which I totally forgotten about. So
would you have to go? Do you have to go do
sign.
A sporting event?
Yeah. So,
are you doing Mariners or what are you doing?
So that's
what are you doing?
12:45.
What? Whose event are you? What are you calling today?
Well, I'm not calling anything. I'm just working on a broadcast. A little difference.
Does anything to do with Huskies?
No. Oh. Huskies aren't in any sort of season now.
So, well, what else do you do? You do Storm?
I do Storm. Yeah.
And you do, sometimes you do Mariners.
Yep.
And sometimes you do other things. And.
Well, not right now. It's Storm now.
It's so this would be Storm that
yeah,
you're going
Storm,
to do?
Storm, yeah. Storm, so you, it's Storm Mariner season for me.
So you have to get from Bellevue Factoria over to where?
Lake Union-ish.
Huh.
I think he's keeping it a secret.
No, I was,
sounds like it. Or maybe he just doesn't really know where he's going and what he's doing yet. See, because
I do have to consult my calendar a lot.
Yeah, see, he's sort of a last minute sort of guy. And well, now I'm remembering when I used to have to go back across the lake
yes.
on Seafair Sunday, and that even though it says it closes at 12:45. I can remember, you know, us close, you know, the show over at noon, racing out of here, jumping in the car and heading out, and it already being backed up and me kind of sweating it as to whether or not I was actually going to make it across the bridge before they closed it, 12:45. So
yeah.
I would not waste any time if I were
you. I know, because I was originally counting on leaving later. Then I was driving here, and I looked at the reader board on 405, and I said, oh, bridge closes at 12:45. I guess I won't be leaving later, will I?
No, unless you want to go up to 520.
No.
And then that'll be
I do not
even,
want to do that.
Yeah.
That is not good.
So who's coming in to take over for you? Is Mike
coming
in?
Mike will be here, but...
What time is he coming in?
Not till We're not going to cross. I'll be here.
So you're going to rely on the computer to run the station?
Yeah, the computer does a good job.
Sometimes.
Hey, did a good job today.
It did. It didn't, but it was last week that it messed up, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's the first time in a while, though.
Yeah.
Computer's been reliable.
FYI, Martha.
Oh, okay. Scotty speaking.
We did have a caller. Renee called in, said, yes, we are on the air.
Okay. Thank you, Renee. We're on the air. Good job, dear.
I figured we were.
All right. Think so? All right. Yeah. Did she have an animal medical care question for Vet Sunday?
No, she just wanted to let us know that we're coming in loud and clear.
All right. Well, it is, if you didn't hear me say so, it is Vet Sunday. Dr. Bill Burlingame is in the house. And if you want to hear his fantastic radio voice, you got to call us with animal medical care questions. We're going to start off with a little bit of animals in the news, and then phone lines are open, and we will be entertaining your animal medical care questions. And Dr. Bill, you treat primarily dogs and cats.
Correct.
Do you do anything else besides dogs and cats? I don't know that we've ever talked about with you anything other than
No. I gave up years ago.
Okay. So dogs and cats.
I used to do some bird work years ago, and I just found it really frustrating. Of course, that was 25 years ago, and the knowledge has expanded a lot since then.
Well, birds are delicate little creatures.
Oh, my gosh, they're so special. It's unbelievable. So I really admire the veterinarians that do the exotic practices, because they're pretty special veterinarians.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you're a pretty special veterinarian.
Thanks, but they're more special. Because if they're around, I don't have to treat them.
That's what makes them special.
That makes them really special.
They make your job easier.
That's right.
All righty. Okay, well, get your animal medical care questions ready. Dogs and cats and whatever's going on with them, we'd like to help. So we want to hear you. And remember that, of course, because whenever we ask, you know, who's our favorite guest, close to the top of the list or at the top of the list is always Dr. Al Pluckner. And, of course, Dr. Al hasn't been doing Vet Sunday for quite a while because he works on Sundays now. And for any of you that don't know, he's the author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic. And we're fortunate that Dr. Bill is here because, now, I say that, and because I believe this, that you, Dr. Bill, are the most knowledgeable and experienced with dealing with the Pluckner syndrome, diagnosing and treating than any other vet besides Dr. Al himself. Now, I know you'll say you don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
That stuff, but
Al's
I believe that's
a pretty
true.
Sharp guy. I just don't even hold a candle to him, but.
But you've been.
I've been working on it a long time, and I've had a lot of observations. And it's like I told some clients the other day, it's the more you know, the more you realize you
don't know.
I'm constantly humbled by this Pluckner imbalance because it's, you no sooner think you got a handle on it, and then you get a couple cases come along that don't conform.
Isn't that the truth?
And we're learning
and
all the time.
And we're working with a couple of really tough ones right now.
So so it's interesting. Really keeps your attention, and we definitely don't understand the whole syndrome. That's for sure.
No, we always have more to learn. And. But, you know, one of the reasons, or probably the biggest reason I appreciate you so much and why you are my own animals, my personal veterinarian, is because I appreciate your brilliance and your interest in all different aspects and approaches to veterinary medicine. You practice one of the best balances between holistic and traditional, and you look at everything and you don't really care where it comes from.
No, it's whatever works.
And that's what I find is so impressive to me, is that you really don't seem to have an ego involved, which when you get into doctor stuff, there seems to often be a lot of that.
Yeah.
And it's my way or the highway sort of thing. So when Dr. Al's work started to come to light, and we needed somebody, vets up here to take a look at it. Well, you know, a lot of the vets that have been approached won't even look at it.
No, it's...
And you were open-minded enough to read it and look at it. And then, of course, if you do that with an open mind, it's sort of like it makes sense.
Well, I saw work on your cats.
And
that was an aha.
Yeah, because my cats, I had the, well, aside from my rescue, just generic cats, I have always had Abyssinians. And Abyssinians, for any of you that know, are genetically can be pretty messed up with, and they have a lot of typical physical problems that relate to the Pluckner syndrome. And then they have a lot of intestinal problems and inflammatory bowel stuff. They have a lot of dental disease. They have a lot of urinary tract and kidney stuff. And of course, mine had fantastic personalities, but had the typical Abyssinian stuff. And particularly, you remember how, because I had Scooty, my Ruddy, and then my two blue boys. And especially the blue boys were messed up. Scooty actually was one of the few individuals, remember we tested early on, that didn't have the syndrome, that tested normal. He moved into it as a result of older age. But my blue boys, you remember how bad their teeth and their gums were? And I mean, you had to pull a lot of their teeth. And Jilpy had that, what'd you get, stomatitis? And that's, you couldn't even touch his gums. Right. They were so painful and all of that. And of course, they both tested classically imbalanced. And we put them on treatment, and bam, all those problems went away.
When their intestinal parasites cleared up.
Oh, that's right.
Without medication.
Yeah.
And we tried all the different medications for their bowel.
What? And G-Man had these weird intestinal parasites that they were in.
Trichomonas and treponema.
That's what they're called?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we went through the standard traditional drug therapies. And
you had me giving drugs for weeks.
Yeah,
we
were just keeping you busy, actually.
And then,
sometimes you got to keep the owner busy. No, really. It's you did an excellent job of therapy, and it just wasn't working.
And I would bring him back, and you'd take a stool specimen. You'd look under the microscope, and they'd still be there.
As soon as that immune protein, IgA, as soon as that got to normal, which that IgA or the immune protein is one of the main defense mechanisms in coating the bowel.
And that's one of the markers we look for in
the marker we track in the Pluckner protocol. As soon as it got to normal, those parasites went away.
Yeah, amazing.
So the body's defense mechanisms got back to steady state or baseline and took care of the problem. And that turned my head. That was like, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was just talking to somebody on the phone last night. In fact, we might hear from them today. And we were talking about the Pluckner syndrome. And I would, because they have some a couple of puppy mill dogs that are, you know, behaviorally really messed up and extreme and irrational flash aggression. And they're just, and these are really experienced trainers and service dog trainers and stuff. And they just can't deal with these dogs. And so I was explaining about the Pluckner syndrome. And one of the owners is particularly knowledgeable about, you know, was an ER nurse herself and has done a lot of research on endocrine immune imbalances and a lot of work on steroids and all that kind of stuff. And saying, well, yeah, but the long-term side effects and da-da-da-da-da-da-da and all that sort of thing. And I was done. I said, look at my G-Man who's sitting right here in my lap, my cat, who has been on the protocol. It was messed up with a lot of physical stuff. We started on the protocol about 8 years ago, and he's been on 15, and he's on a high dose. It took a high dose of cortisol to balance him. He's been on 15 milligrams of Prad once a day for 8 years, and he's great. Yep. He and he's 14 years old, and he doesn't look. He looks like he's about eight. He hasn't aged. He is healthier than he's ever been in his life. He has plenty of muscle mass and all that other stuff you look for, and he's you know, I'm convinced he probably wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for the Pluckner protocol. But anyway, it's interesting stuff, and I guess the whole point in all of that was I appreciate you because you were open-minded enough to look at it, and that Dr. Al always says doesn't hurt to test, so you were willing to do that, and then you were willing to try the protocol, and by golly, you've treated a lot of patients. I mean, say maybe 7-8 years you've been doing patients now consistently.
And I wish I tracked the numbers of patients.
Well, that would be
not everybody, you know, not everybody is successful in the therapy. Not all people opt to treat. a fair number of people start out and stop for whatever reason. So I wish I really had it broken down into percentages, but yeah, there's been a lot of them.
And it's interesting, though, I mean, because it not only affects or underlies all kinds of physical problems, like the title of the book, From Allergies mm-hmm. to Cancer, but also behavior.
The behavior is the most interesting.
Isn't that fascinating?
That's really fascinating. And I think that, you know, I was thinking about that this morning, is the dogs that come in that have the behavior problems as well as some other issues. They normally have some other issues.
Mm-hmm.
But the dogs that come in with behavior issues.
And we're talking extreme and irrational fear are the most common stuff.
Right. But I tell folks.
Fear and aggression, I mean.
Right. Those are the toughest cases.
Mm-hmm.
Those invariably are the toughest cases, and the behavior stuff, it shows improvement early on, but I think it takes a long time to eradicate. That's not the term I want to use. Eliminate that behavior or modify it a lot. It's tough. And part of that's because it's a learned, you know, we're dealing with a thinking critter, and they learn that behavior, and to unlearn that behavior, each dog is different on their capability to unlearn what they've learned.
And so, a lot of times, though, just stabilizing the endocrine immune imbalance and dealing with underlying food allergies,
right?
The behavior goes away.
Right. It's all hormones and then the influence that the food has somehow on the health of the animal. It's a moving target, it seems.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. But I just so appreciate the fact that you were open-minded enough to look at it and then to try it, and then the amazing results have kept you working at it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's not an end-all, be-all. It's not a magic wand.
Nope.
Now, if it's an animal of a classic case, and this syndrome affects, as far as we know, at least dogs, cats, horses, and humans, if it's a classic case, then they respond to treatment, and boom, they're pretty easy. Things regulate, and the physical problems go away, the behavior problems go away. But as you noted, we run into some difficult cases, and because some of the animals seem to be medication intolerant, and we have trouble with them tolerating the medications. Some of them have horrendous food allergies, and sometimes we have a difficulty finding anything they can eat that doesn't trigger.
Yep.
The behavior or the physical problems themselves, and those are the toughies. And you also said, of course, with the behavior combined with physical body stuff, those are probably the most difficult cases. I find myself as a behavior therapist and trainer, but of course I've been specializing in dealing with these messed up, you know, dogs for
and you've done a great job in that.
Years anyway.
Yeah, you've really guided a lot of these people in good directions to look at other avenues for behavior modification. So you've done great there.
Well, because I became aware of Plechner's work back in the early 80s when his first book came out, Pet Allergies, and all the food stuff. And because the food can trigger the behavior, way back then, I couldn't find any vets even willing to look at the endocrine immune aspects of it. So all I could deal with was the food. And, of course, I had Golden Retrievers were my breed, and then a lot of other dogs that I was collecting off of death row that had all these messed up behavior problems. I found that simply by putting them on simple formula, hypoallergenic diets to them, and then rotating those diets, that I was able to eliminate not only all of the allergic type reactions, the hot spots, the skin, all that sort of stuff, but also a lot of the behavior stuff. So that made a huge difference for me. But because I was dealing with these types of behaviors for so many years, I got pretty good at it. So I find the behavior, as long as we can cover all the bases, I seem to be able to help these clients work through that, which is really great. But unfortunately, it's kind of like with the veterinarians, most trainers are not aware of this either. And when the Plechner syndrome is involved, when you've got the extreme and irrational fear and or aggression, and the really, really difficult cases have both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not only flash aggressive, they're also really sensitive and really fearful. And then sometimes we've got, you know, a really difficult case right now that's probably the worst case of separation anxiety and household destruction that I've ever seen. And so these really serious behavior things I think make it even more difficult to deal with some of these animals. But for the first time, because I'll tell you, when you have those extreme aggression things or behavior things, and they are Pleckner syndrome dogs, for years I've tried everything that I know of from a behavior or training aspect, and you can't train through it. You can't beat it out of them. You can't love it out of them. You can't reward it out of them. You can't behavior modify it out of them. There is nothing you can do to change that behavior. You might be able to control it under some circumstances or tone it down, but you can't eliminate it. And until Dr. Al perfected the way to the blood panel to test for it and then a relatively simple treatment, then these cases started turning around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
and of course, thyroid's a big issue as
Thyroid's a huge issue.
Right. So that came for you, that came after your food awareness probably, or about the same time,
yep.
Is the thyroid dysfunction problems and how that relates to behavior and immune health and hormonal balances and...
Yeah, we found it because I worked with some other trainers in the area and then a couple of other veterinarians, and we started testing. We were looking at the extreme and irrational fear was the most common behavior, and sometimes aggression, but mostly it was fear, presenting. We started testing their thyroids, and it was one of the vets that was doing most of the testing, you know, came to us and said, do you realize that every dog you've sent to us to test has been hypothyroid, and every one of them has behaviorally responded to medication? No. So then we really started looking at that. But when we ran into trouble was when we'd test the thyroids and they tested normal, and they weren't hypothyroid according to the blood tests. You know, the T3, T4s, then we didn't know what to do.
Yeah, well, that's where the interference of the estrogen comes in, is you can have normal resting thyroid levels. But also, if if we bring up a subject of Jean Dodd's new book, Dr. Dodd's, her new book about...
And she's the veterinary thyroid expert.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I guess you could say she's an expert. That's her area of specialty.
Her area of specialty. That's
but it's because it's a complicated area. But if you look at her new book that just recently came out, and she talks about these dogs that have normal resting T3, T4 levels.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at her antibody test, which is checking for antibodies against the hormones, that these animals may have normal circulating levels of active hormone, but they aren't functional levels, or they can't bind with the receptor sites on the cell wall. So that takes in the group of dogs with behavior problems, and yet they got normal thyroid levels.
But she's not looking at total estrogen, though, is she?
No, she's not, and that's the problem is that if we could get all the different camps together, if we could get Dr. Pleckner and Dr. Dodd's and University of Tennessee, and then the internal medicine folks, the traditional internal medicine folks, and we could all get them in a room and actually talk about what's going on, I think we'd get a better handle on adrenal disease in dogs. Because it's probably the most complicated area, and it's been least looked at in a unified manner.
Yeah.
As far as putting everybody's ideas together, it hasn't happened, and I don't know if it will, and it may be because of egos.
Well, and I would say that's the case. Now, I will say, because I will defend Dr. Al, you know, Pleckner, from here to eternity, because I think he's been brilliant in what he's discovered. And he'll talk to anybody.
Right.
He'll work with anybody,
right.
Anything. But the other parties mentioned will not. And therein lies the problem.
Well. Yeah,
therein lies the problem. And if we had a little more open-mindedness, mm-hmm. and we'd really, like you said, could sit them all down, mm-hmm. let's all look and realize that everybody's got a piece of the pie.
Right.
Let's put it all together.
Everybody's
put the egos aside.
Yeah.
Then you're right.
Yeah,
there
we need
would
to
be
work,
some answers.
We need to work it out. We need to find out the real mechanism of what goes on. And everybody's got a theory, and I think everybody's a little bit right. And it's just complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Now, I'll tell you, back in, I think it was back in the probably 80s, early 90s, when I was working with the other trainers and these other couple of vets, and we were working with this thyroid business, and we were realizing pretty much every dog with the behavior signs were testing hypothyroid. But then a few that didn't test hypothyroid, we didn't know what to do about them. But what the interesting thing that happened was, one of the vets involved, who I worked for like 6 years, his name's Dr. Fran Mugley, and he was in research most of his early veterinary career, and the guy was absolutely brilliant, and he's no longer practicing medicine, and I don't really know why, because the guy was brilliant, but he was one of the consulting vets we were working with, and one of the breeds we were most commonly seeing was Shelties. As you know, Shelties temperamentally tend to be really sensitive and generally real reactive, and they are often real fearful. So when we had extreme and irrational fears with them, we'd test them, their thyroids, and we were testing back then the T3, T4s, and the vast majority of them with the behavioral symptoms would test hypothyroid. And of course, we'd put them on medication, and voila, the fears would go away. So, but then we'd run into a bunch of them that had the behavioral signs, but they didn't test hypothyroid, so we didn't treat them. Well, Fran Mugley said at one point, he said, you know, I think we ought to experiment. And he said, the Shelties that come in that have the extreme and irrational fear, the behavior, but they test normal thyroid, let's put them on thyroid and see what happens.
See where to go. That's right.
And when we did that, we got a minimum of 60% improvement in the behavior. Now, that's as far as we were able to go with it, because we didn't have the Plechner endocrine immune stuff to go with there. But as you know, now in treating the Plechner syndrome, giving thyroid medication is half the treatment. And I would say the majority of dogs we test for the Plechner syndrome, they have normal thyroid hormone levels. It's more unusual to find a dog that has the Plechner syndrome and is hypothyroid.
Yeah, they usually have low normals on what I call a gray zone. They're kind of in a could be not. Most of them aren't, you know, bottom of the scale thyroid level.
Right. Or really tanked. Every once in a while you find one that is. But anyway, fascinating. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so I guess this is the long way of saying thank you for being so open-minded and looking at all this stuff. And one of the... Y'all know that one of our Animal World vets and one of my other favorite vets is Dr. Mike Salusky, who practices Chinese medicine, you know, the chiropractic acupuncture and the Chinese medicine, the Chinese herbs. And with one of our really tough cases, because Dr. Mike is also open-minded and without that ego barrier that says, I can't treat a dog that's already on Plechner treat. Because he had the same experience you did. You remember it was my cats that was the aha for you?
It was your horse.
Was my horse that aha'd him, because it saved my horse's life. So ever since then, he knows there's something there, and he is aware of it, and he doesn't test for it, but he does treat and all of that. Anyway, so we've pulled him in now. So we're adding some Chinese herbs and stuff to a case here to see if we can't get closer to balance for this particular individual. So be interesting, but we're still, and of course you do your transfer factors and your mushrooms and all that kind of stuff.
And you know, that comes in with the immune function, or immune dysfunction probably is a better term to use. That's why it interested me a long time ago, because I was already interested in immune function, and then I would notice with our patients that had symptoms of immune problems, we put them on immune supplements, and they didn't seem to respond. And it was like one would respond and one wouldn't. And then after Plechner came along, and we noticed that the immune function in these Plechner patients is disabled. It just can't respond, or it responds in an aberrant manner, over-response. And so I thought, oh, this is part of the puzzle. So we we put them on Plechner protocol, get the immune system enabled again, get it able to respond, and get it back to baseline function.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can use your immune supplements to go far and above and beyond that and help with infection. And so it was just a natural blend,
those
together.
And it's interesting now because, well, of course, we're aware of it here on the show and talk about it a lot. So you get cases there. I refer you a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
But we're starting, so trainers out there are starting to become aware through us of this Plechner stuff. And so you're getting referrals from other people are recognizing this syndrome in animals. So like you said, it's a shame we don't have records on how many animals you've actually treated.
Yeah, I've got all the files, that's for sure. I just haven't collated all the data.
Yeah.
I keep everything.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to know how many. Now, we've got a particular case that Dr. Al actually sent us an email this week about a case that he's consulted on that I don't remember in all the, maybe 7 years of having him on the show once a month and all those hours and hours of conversation. I don't remember us ever talking about SARDS, which is sudden acute retinal degeneration syndrome.
Sudden
acquired.
Yeah.
He has acute here. That's right.
Yep.
Sudden acquired.
Mm-hmm.
Retinal degeneration syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people know about that, especially if you've got purebred dogs, because isn't that one of the ones that you screen eyes for and stuff?
No, they can't screen for SARDS. That's the problem.
I guess that's why it would be sudden. Huh?
That's why it would be
sudden. Gee.
Yeah, if they could screen for SARDS, there'd be a lot of happy ophthalmologists out there.
Yeah. So anyway, we're already behind time, but let's stay as close on time as we can. We need to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. When we come back, we'll talk about this case that Dr. Al sent us, because I don't remember ever having one to talk about this, and we'll find out if Dr. Bill has ever treated one with or tested for the Plechner syndrome. So if you know anybody that is dealing with a dog with SARDS, or if you have had a situation with it, you want to stay tuned, because we're going to talk about that next. And eventually we might get to animals in the news, and we might not. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Call into Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for your free on-air readings. Robin uses her ability as a karma specialist, medical intuitive, and metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She's a medium who can talk to your spirit guides and angels. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Since 1935, Evinger's Dog and Cat Food Company has been the finest natural dog food company in the United States. For over 75 years, they have innovated products dedicated to wholesome nutrition free of harmful additives and preservatives. Premium quality cuts of USDA human grade meat and poultry with market fresh fruits and vegetables compose their revered recipes. No corn, wheat, or soy. No fillers or byproducts. No additives or preservatives. Nothing artificial. Just abundant, wholesome ingredients. Make it easy to say yes to Evinger's. Visit online for more information at evingersdogandcatfood.com.
Do you know how, for so many people, there is so much information out there today? They don't know where to start when they want to find something that's interesting to them. What Pam and I have done is we've created a unique radio show specifically targeted to women and the men who love them, designed to focus on helping them to learn, grow, change their lives, and have some fun.
Join Rochelle and I every Tuesday through Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on KKNW 1150 a.m. or chatwithwomen.com. You'll be glad you did.
Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, you'll find Jones & Company on State Avenue in Marysville, coincidentally just up the street from Dr. Bell at Quilcito Vet Clinic. So check it out. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Is your dog unable to jump into the car or onto your bed? Has your cat stopped grooming because it hurts to twist? Joint discomfort can take the fun out of life. Connectin is the first joint supplement scientifically proven to show better mobility within 15 days. Yep, 15 days. Connectin contains joint building blocks, plus 9 natural herbs to support joint health. Connectin is gentle and effective. Make sure your pet is living a vibrant, active life with Connectin. Ask for Connectin at your natural pet store.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Learn about this membership and how to get exclusive contact with her at her website, robinalexis.com. Robin invites you to register for her weekly newsletter and share your comments and experiences in her blog and forum with her and other community members at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medical intuitive and a metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She is a medium and she can talk to your spirit guides and angels, and she's adept at doing all this over the phone and through the website at robinalexis.com. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993, and you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
You listen to us, now we want to hear from you. We're ready to listen as you tell us about yourself, the radio programs you love, and your likes and dislikes. All you have to do is log on to 1150kknw.com, that's 1150kknw.com, and fill out the 2011 Alternative Talk Listener Survey. As a thank you, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Victoria, BC, including transportation, lodging, and continental champagne breakfast. Log on to 1150kknw.com because we're listening. Contest rules and details online at 1150kknw.com.
Notice anything different? You should. There's no other station like Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It is the first Sunday of August, and that means it's Vet Sunday. And Dr. Bill Burlingame from Quilcito Vet Clinic in Marysville is here. And we just got right into a veterinary discussion here. I've been talking about Dr. Al Pluckner and his book Pets at Risk and the endocrine immune syndrome that we call the Pluckner syndrome. And like I said, we may or may not get to the animals in the news this week. Depends. And I promised you this little discussion about SARDs. And now, is SARDs peculiar only to dogs?
They have a similar syndrome in human.
Oh.
But it's different.
I was thinking cats.
Oh, okay. You know, I haven't ever read anything about it in cats.
Oh, nothing in cats. Okay. And it's sudden acquired retinal degeneration syndrome.
That's right.
And so that involves the eyes. I know you're not a veterinary ophthalmologist, but can you kind of tell us what happens with this disease?
Well, they call it sudden acquired because they suddenly become blind.
Oh.
And suddenly means over, can be days, weeks to months.
Okay.
And they're blind. And
end of discussion, just blind.
Huh? Yeah. And you know, animals are when they have slow loss of vision, we don't pick up on it very fast because they they acclimate pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, you know, they're walking on four legs, and if they bump into something, they don't fall over. And
Right.
So we don't always notice it until all of a sudden they hit something.
Or you change your furniture. Well,
yeah,
around.
You do what I had a discussion with a client the other day in the office. We talked about doing Helen Keller jokes on her dog.
Oh. And
this is a little diabetic that's starting to get cataracts. And I said, now just don't move the furniture around.
Yeah.
Because you're going to find out, because this dog had a mature cataract in the left eye and the right eye was going.
And, of course, if a dog is developing cataracts, that's something that you usually notice because the eye gets kind of foggy.
Yep.
And more and more so.
Right.
But that doesn't happen with SARDs?
No, the SARDs is they actually have, and the mechanism is not understood, but the photoreceptor cells, or the cells that receive the light signals, die.
Huh.
And when the patient first comes in, and as a a general practitioner, and you look at the retina early on, the retina looks normal. But the pupillary light reflex is diminished, and the dog's blind or predominantly blind. And so when you have an acute blindness that the retina looks normal, then SARDs is high on the list, and they better be going to an ophthalmologist, because the way they diagnose it is to do electroretinogram, or they put a special like contact lens on the eye and put some electrical impulses and measure the retinal response to the electric stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what they say is flatline, is that the retina doesn't respond to the light going in.
And so that's how it's diagnosed.
Yeah, and so there's lots of different theories on therapy. The majority of people say there's not a therapy. There is a veterinarian at Iowa State that is using intravenous immunoglobulin therapy.
Mm.
But he hasn't published, from the reading I've done, he hasn't published his data. The ophthalmology college is asking him to publish his data and prove that what he's doing is working. So that hasn't happened.
So is it true? Is it considered an autoimmune disease?
Well, there is an autoimmune retinitis that goes on as well. And so in an autoimmune disease, they have antibodies that are developed against certain tissues. And in SARDs, it could be loosely categorized as an autoimmune disease, but they don't feel that these antibodies are circulating generally out in the body, but in the retina. So it's kind of its own little category. The other symptoms, it's interesting, a lot of people are testing these dogs for Cushing's syndrome. Because these dogs early on, before the blindness happens, they usually have increased thirst, increased urination, increased appetite. Some of these dogs, you'll see some liver enzyme elevations. So there's something going on in the endocrine system in these animals, and there's a lot of different opinions as to what. So the jury's out on this.
Yeah, so interesting. So that being the foundation here, because kind of I think the general thing. And then my understanding, of course, is like, your dog's got SARDs, there isn't a whole lot of hope. So this email came to us this week from Dr. Pluckner, and it's a report to him from apparently a case, the owner of a dog that he's been consulting with. Now, I'm kind of having to assume and fill in some of the details because I don't really know here. But I don't think this is a patient that Dr. Al's actually treated. I think this is a patient that whose dog was diagnosed with SARDs, probably somewhere else in the country. Somehow she found out about Dr. Al's work, and of course through his website, Dr. Pluckner, PLECHNER.com, you can consult with him. And of course you can get his book, Pets at Risk, from New Sage Press, the publisher. So she probably read the book and consulted with Dr. Al, and then somehow found a vet in her area that was willing to test. And her dog tested for and had the Pluckner syndrome and then was put on treatment. So those are the assumptions I'm making here, which will kind of make sense when I read you this email. But it's kind of exciting news. And so the email says, and the dog's name is Rio. It says, "Hi, Dr. P. Well, three independent veterinarians this week all confirmed that they think Rio has some functional vision. Rio saw her veterinary acupuncturist, her original vet, for a CBC draw, and our, quote, new vet, with whom we work on the endocrine issues and injections. They were all normal, informal tests done in the office, but she could track cotton, navigate the exam rooms, complete with furniture and chair legs, and her PLRs,
pupillary light reflex,
were quickly responsive. Everyone was floored. I am over the moon with happiness and hope that she continues to make progress. I'm surprised how she can navigate new places, including going up a few stairs. She surprises me every day. If she does continue to improve, we will go back to our ophthalmologist who gave us, quote, no hope for Rio to get his assessment. I'd also like to do an ERG.
Electroretinogram.
Oh, that's what you were talking about.
Yes.
Okay. As Rio was flatlined for her SARDS diagnosis. Now, that's, thanks for explaining that. I would just love to see if there is some activity. My curiosity is too much. I know I've said this before, but thank you so much for all that you do and your support. I honestly could not have gotten through this without the support of you and someone else we don't know, but I truly believe in the biochemistry, endocrinology, physiology of it all. So we stayed the course and seemed to be reaping the rewards. I told all of the veterinarians that I just want to create awareness for this type of treatment, so hopefully we could help other SARDS dogs in the future. Honestly, our original vet is still having trouble wrapping her head around all of this. They were expecting Rio to lose muscle mass from all of the hormones, particularly the injections, because that's the steroids, right?
Correct.
Which it seems they are still against for whatever reason. They think she looks great. She's healthy, bright, alert, and sassy. Her CBC revealed this week, slightly higher liver enzymes. That would be a blood chemistry test, mm-hmm. not a CBC. Mm-hmm. But no one is worried about that, as they are only slightly elevated. Also slightly elevated phosphorus, I think maybe due to the pumpkin that I give her. I've read that is high in phosphorus. We'll probably test her 3 to 4 times a year just to make sure all is good. But for now, I am so happy. The vet ordered a T4 test, and that came back normal. So I suspect the EI1 will show the same. That's the panel to test, blood panel to test for the Pleckner syndrome. She says, I'll let you know when the EI results are back and in case we need to adjust the dosage of the medications. And it's thanks again, Lynn. So it would certainly, this would indicate that this dog was blind and diagnosed with SARDS and no hope and now is being treated for the Pleckner syndrome and seems to be able to be seeing again.
It would be very interesting to get the rest of the story, meaning mm-hmm. what the original EI1 was and
yep.
a little bit what the dog's symptoms were, if the dog had probably had other skin problems or bowel problems or some other issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to follow up with Al
on that and find out the details
what the first chapter of the story was.
Great. And then you can report to us uh-huh. next time you're back on Vet Sunday. But I definitely wanted to go over this because at this point, you know, as Dr. Bill explained, that if you have a dog with SARDS, at this point there isn't a whole lot of hope except for that guy in the other part of the country that's doing some...
Yeah, and you got to get to those dogs within weeks.
Yeah, so if you're out there listening... Something's going on with
right.
this dog.
There has to be something to do with the estrogen levels. The estrogen causes a lot of inflammation in the body or allows a lot of inflammation to go on. And you could see where, you know, those photoreceptor cells in the retina are probably really sensitive cells. It probably doesn't take much inflammation to interfere with their function.
And that, of course, for anyone who doesn't know, the kind of the key component to this endocrine immune imbalance that we call the Pleckner syndrome, what Dr. Pleckner discovered is the high total estrogen level. And that's what he tests for that nobody else tests for. And so it's the high total estrogen and low or normal cortisol, and then we test the thyroid hormones and then the antibodies, the IgA being the most important. But that's when Dr. Bill's mentioning the estrogen. Mm-hmm. That's what you're talking about. Because that seems to mess up the detail. And
it interferes with a lot of function. I would just I wish we really knew what the true mechanism is there.
Yeah. Well, maybe someday we'll know.
Someday we'll know.
Anyway, so if you have a SARDS dog, know somebody that is a SARDS dog, you might want to get up to see Dr. Bill and get an EI1 panel and see if, in fact, the dog does have that syndrome, and see if something can be done. And let's see. You can be reached, of course, at Quilceda Vet Clinic, and the phone number there, don't call them now. They're not open. It's Sunday. But Quilceda phone number is 360-659-8482. Did I get that right?
That's correct.
360-659-8482. All righty then. Well, how about before we close out this hour and open the phone lines, let me cruise through the stack of animals in the news and see if there's anything worth mentioning. Oh, killed a cougar on I-5. You probably don't want to know. Oh, did you hear? The sad. The one of the Broadmoor eagles, nesting eagles, was hit by the bus on 520 this week and killed. That, really sad. When I saw the news report, I was hoping it wasn't one of the nesting pair in Laurelhurst where I used to live, because I watched them raise their babies every year that I was there. But I'm going to save this eagle column, because when Robin, you know, we're doing Robin and Martha Sunday next week, we're going to tune into animals. I'm interested in tuning into the eagle and find out how come he ran into the bus. I mean, he was just wasn't paying attention, and it was a oops, or what, it was his time, and or what was...
Well, didn't they say that the other birds were chasing him? That's what I heard.
The report I saw on TV that I saw said that he might have been going after prey of some kind.
That was a story I heard too. That birds were chasing.
Yeah.
Him.
Now you crows go after crows go after eagles a lot.
Oh yeah, but I mean, did I tell you the my eagle story and the crows? Because this happened in Laurelhurst. We had a family of, you know, crows are very territorial. There's a whole bunch of them around here. And you know, they gather at Foster Island and, you know, around the Arboretum and stuff. But we had two crows that ran our block in Laurelhurst for all the years that I've, you know, been there. And there's a nesting pair of eagles like a half a block away from the house I used to live then, my dad's house. And, you know, the crows, whenever the eagles come in to the neighbor, you know, they're always dive-bombing them and doing all that kind of stuff. And you always wonder why the eagles don't do anything. But, I mean, they kind of act like they're mosquitoes, and they don't pay attention to them and all that sort of stuff. One time, when they had a baby, they had one baby eagle, and they were doing flight school for the baby eagle. And I don't know if it was the mom or dad eagle was out there, and the baby was flying around Laurelhurst. Well, the baby cruised by my block, and the two crows, and the crows had a baby.
Came by the hood, huh?
Yeah,
the came crow by, hood.
Yeah, the baby eagle came by the hood.
Yeah.
And the parent crow and the baby crow, they went after the baby eagle. And I got to tell you, the mom or dad eagle was there in a second, and bam, 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 blasted each of those crows out of the air, flat dead on the ground, boom.
Amazing.
That was it. Took them out in a second.
Wow.
Yeah. So I learned that day that if the eagles really cared, they could deal with those crows. They just don't choose not to. So, and maybe they do choose. They'd rather fly away than deal with them. But boy, when their kid was on the line, they just took those crows out. Now it took quite a while. It took maybe 6 months or more before another pair of crows came in to take over our block. But eventually they did. But anyway, that was a real lesson. So anyway, I'm going to save that for next week so we can find out what the deal was with that crow or with that eagle. Let's see. Okay, I don't think we need to do that.
Let's not have any bad news. Come on.
Well, yeah, you know, but you've been hearing about, I'm going to save these two. Did you hear about up in Norway, the polar bear that attacked all the kids up there this week?
No.
Yeah, it was just all over the news yesterday. 13 attacked while on an expedition, and one 17-year-old student was killed.
Ooh.
Then there was another, there was that guy in Yellowstone that was killed by the grizzly just recently. And so I'm going to save that. Okay, this is interesting. Did you also see the article about